This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And today's message is entitled, Enduring Tribulations Through the Peace of God. Sometimes in our life as believers, as Christian people, we get to a place where we become spiritually weak or sick, whether it be in our emotions, circumstances going around that tries our faith. And we have this feeling of uselessness, or we have the feeling of why me, why now? And sometimes we just don't know why we feel this way. But I'm so thankful today that God does. God knows all about it. And the message this morning is to kind of bring us to a place of spiritual awareness. Why? There may be an absence of peace in our life. And so if you'll stay focused through the word today, perhaps if you're feeling this way in your life, we can take these burdens and these problems to the Lord Jesus. And today, through the message, he is going to put a spotlight on possible reasons why you feel maybe empty in your spiritual life. Why are you struggling today? That's my prayer. Enduring tribulation through the peace of God. If you have your Bibles, open to John chapter 16. I want to read for you this morning, beginning in John chapter 16, and I want us to look at verse number 27. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 27. I will read through verse 33. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Now look very carefully at verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. More often than not, we find things happening in our own life like a vacuum that seems to withdraw every fiber of strength that we have out of us. And as long as we live on this planet, we will experience the hardships of life. There's just no other way to say it. It's a done deal. All of us have tears. All of us have sorrows. All of us have despair. All of us have breaking points. All of us have desperation. And another thing that we all have in common is that we would desire that all of these things would be gone from our life. Who would not want that? But just as sure as we experience those things, you see, it doesn't stay that way forever. It's not like that all the time. Even though we may think it is, it's not like that all the time. Just as sure as we experience these things, we can be just as sure that in Christ there's enduring peace that comes with every single toil and snare of our life. And we'll find that in the Word. Yet, listen carefully, the peace that comes our way, it does not mean that it will not go unchallenged by the thievery of the demon world. Please listen carefully. There is a real devil just as there is a real God. Just as there are real holy angels, there are real fallen angels. There is a spiritual world going on all around us. And we have to understand this, because the devil is just as real as God. The devil has a plan for our life, just like God has a plan for our life. The devil would love to see the tribulation, the trials, the burdens that we go through in life. He would like to dedicate those things to robbing us of our peace and joy. Now you think about this. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The devil has come that he would rob us of this peace, he would rob us of this joy, and that we not experience the abundant life in Christ. Sometimes, as the devil seeks clever ways on a daily basis, he just doesn't show up in your life when you're having good times. The truth of the matter is, we have to constantly be reminded that the Word says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's got every one of us on his hit list every day. Don't ever think that you will get to a place in life where the devil now has finally backed away from you, who has said, well, now I've met my match, I need to go find somebody else. Listen, doesn't matter how spiritual we get, or what kind of reprieve we have momentarily in our life from a troublesome time, the devil constantly seeks a way into my life and seeks a way into your life. One of the things he is dedicated to do is to rob us of this peace, this abundant life that Jesus came to give. And listen carefully. If we're not careful, it's not only a thing about him trying to rob us of our peace, but if we're not careful, we can end up ourselves giving our peace away. So I want you to think about this. Listen very carefully this morning. It's one thing for the world and the devil to try to steal our peace and our joy, but it's another thing altogether when we willfully surrender it to him. This is what we have to guard against. It's very possible it happens all the time. Sometimes the absence of peace in our life is our own fault. It's like the words to the old hymn that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. And there, by the way, is some real gospel truth in that song. Oftentimes when we stand to sing, we miss the message in the song. We listen to the melody. We listen to the music. We listen to the band. We listen to the harmony. But a lot of times we simply do not get the message in the song. But if you take notice to that old particular hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, you know there's a phrase in that song that goes like this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, your Bible is open in John chapter 16. In our text today, Jesus had gathered his disciples together for what was his final reference to the awful hour that was just ahead of him. And as Jesus was approaching the cross, he took the time to encourage his sad-hearted disciples with the assuring words of comfort. Now, follow me now. As Jesus was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples learned very quickly that peace, the peace that they desperately needed in this hostile world, the peace that they needed was in Christ and Christ alone. That's something we've got to learn. because many times we look for in many things but Him. In our desperation and in our troublesome times, we often look for peace and consolation and a reprieve from a broken heart or a troubled mind. We look for these types of solutions in everything in the world other than Him. But those disciples learned in the Garden of Gethsemane that night that peace was in Christ and Christ alone. That's something we've got to learn as well. And I will tell you this, I will agree that that's a hard lesson. But I'm so thankful that it's a repetitious lesson that God is willing to work with us on each and every day. Somehow, the reason why this is difficult, because somehow we convince ourselves that we are prone to believe that being a Christian, just simply being a Christian, entitles us to a life of ease. I don't know why we think that sometimes, but sometimes we try to give God a guilt trip. And we begin to remind Him, hey, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. I remember the day I was baptized. I remember the day I joined the church. God, I remember the day I passed out gospel tracts. I remember the day I sang in the choir. I remember the day I taught Sunday school. I remember the day I cleaned the church. I can remember, God, all the things that I've done for You. And you know, it just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem fair, God, that You would put me through this unbelievable, this miserable time of my life when I do all of these things for You. I just feel like, God, hey, I gave my heart to You. I gave my soul to You. And it just seems fair now that if I'm going to give my heart and soul to You, and if I'm going to do all this stuff, then God, it just seems fair that You would give me this get out of trouble free card, that You would somehow put some kind of halo and give me some kind of wing and let me just flutter through life with a life of ease. The truth of the matter is, sometimes when these kind of circumstances overwhelm us, not just come to us, but overwhelm us, we kind of believe this. We make ourselves believe it, that God is just simply unfair with us right now. I want you to think about that. However, listen carefully, if we do not associate tribulation, troubles and trials with Christianity, then the devil has deceived you. Because more often than not, we're going to see it and see it every day. You know, one of the first responses that we have, and this is so true, and it applies to every single one of us in here today, but one of the first responses we have when trouble comes our way is not necessarily falling on our knees. One of the first responses that we have from time to time is to whine and complain and gripe. And we say, why me, Lord? You know, the better question to ask God, if you're going to question God in your time of desperation, is not why me, but why now? Because God always has a plan. He has a purpose for our life. And listen, if there's something overwhelming in our life, it just didn't take God by surprise. God has a plan. So we need to find out what that plan is, what His purpose is. Why are we going through? So God, why now? Show me something in Your Word. Show me something why I'm going through this. The devil knows that he can play with our mind. He knows how to make us feel singled out and unnecessarily bullied by God. I mean, I even hate to even bring that kind of thing to light, but it's the truth. We deal with it all the time. And then when we feel like that we have been unnecessarily bullied by God, we retreat and we withdraw and we have our manufactured, personal made, tailor-made pity parlies. But listen, the Holy Spirit, God, has made it clear in the Scripture what the kind of response we ought to have when these kind of things come our way. I want you to see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, and notice with me beginning in verse 12 and 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. The word says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, the word says, listen, don't panic. Don't think that God's unnecessarily bullying you. Don't think God's picking on you. But why do we do that? Peter here in the word is saying, hey, wait a minute. When these things come, don't think God is unnecessarily messing with your mind. Don't think that God has unnecessarily singled you out. The word says, hey, think it not strange. And rather than whine and complain, he says this in verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Many of the greatest Christians, and I want to remind you of this today, many of the greatest Christians in the Bible suffered beyond imagination. A few Sundays ago, I concluded a series on the Beatitudes, and I took time to share with you just how much suffering those apostles, those Christians in the early church went through. We took some time to begin with the stoning of Stephen, and we talked about it all the way through John on the island of Patmos, later getting to Ephesus, and all the heartaches that they endured. But listen to this. Many, I'm talking about from the Old Testament all the way through the Revelation, we read these great men of faith, and many of these great men of faith in the scriptures suffered beyond imagination, yet they went to their graves with peace. I want you to think about that. If you wonder how that could be, perhaps there's no greater example in the Word than the example I could give you of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'd like for you to see this with me. Because other than Job, I can think of no other person in the Bible that suffered like Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24, Paul gives us his own account of this passage. And the word says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. And you know, if you've ever often wondered why they stopped short of 40, it was said that the 39th stripe was just about the last stripe that a person could bear before dying. The severity of 40 stripes was guaranteed death. And so they would just barely stop short of one to somehow inflict more severe pain. When Jesus was beaten before he actually got to the cross, you know the story how the Roman centurions took the cat of nine tails. It had nine strands of leather on it. At the end of the whip, there were metal fragments, there were bones, there were sharp rocks attached to those nine strands. And so when the Roman centurion would take the whip, it wasn't just a thrashing on his back. That cat of nine tails was designed as the Roman centurion reared back and he would throw that whip at the body of Christ or whoever it was that was being tormented. In the case of Jesus, that whip would go out and that cat of nine tails would wrap around his body. And those bones and that fragments of metal, just like a fishing hook, would latch into his skin and the Roman centurion would pull it off. They whipped Jesus to the place where his flesh was off of his back, stopping short of killing him here. Because they had further plans for him. And we know the story. And so Paul here, he said, I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In the journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, daily the care of the churches. He was not only persecuted for being a Christian, but being a Christian, a worker, and a servant in the church, you can only imagine what the ministry is about. Paul said, I was taking on this magnitude every day. He said, verse 29, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul is saying, please understand, I'm begging you to understand that I'm telling you the gospel truth. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. You know that story. Let me remind you of something. The Apostle Paul was terribly hated by many people. Obviously, if you read the word, you find that, and especially in the book of Acts. Everywhere he went, he had people that were interested either in throwing him in jail or killing him, one of the two. Imagine how he lived his day with that kind of hatred going around every city and town towards him. And let me ask you this, how would it be if you had to live your life every day looking over your shoulder because somebody either wanted to throw you in jail or kill you? Paul said, that happened to me. That was my personal circumstance. Let me show you something here, though, in the latter part of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you look at verse 33, I want to remind you, and this reminded me of a very precious blessing. And you have to look hard to see this, to get the analogy, to get the comparison, to get the illustration. But I thought it was precious and I wanted to bring this to your attention. In the 11th chapter, the word of God ends. Notice this. And through a window in a basket was I let down. Have you ever been to the place where you've been just flat out let down by somebody? They promised you something. They reneged on it and they didn't see you through, or they told you, hey, I'm going to be here at a certain time. They stood you up, or that whatever it was, and you had your expectations. The priorities of your life were spinning around those expectations, and then out of the blue, somebody just rocked your world, popped your bubble, made all of that stuff just disintegrate. I looked at these words in this passage of Scripture. Paul said, I was let down, notice that, by the wall. Now, the thing that I find encouraging is this. In the last verse of the 11th chapter, Paul says, I was let down. But in the very first verses of chapter 12, the word says this in 1 and 2. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Notice this. This is talking about him now. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. You say, well, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying this, that the last verse of chapter 11, Paul talks about being let down. But the very first verse in the next chapter talks about Paul being picked up. And it happened that fast. And you think about this, just as quick as you and I are cast down in life with the absence of peace, God is sufficient to quickly pick us up as quick as we are cast down. And the reason is because he's overcome the world. Now, in this passage, Paul is talking about burdens. He's talking about the troubles and the trials of life. But he does not leave the word with him being cast down. He goes on to encourage us in the testimony of God's great grace. So listen, when we're down, this is how God picks us up. And try to grasp this spiritual truth this morning. God has to. He has to balance burdens with blessings, as well as blessings with burdens. If he didn't do that, then we would all surely fall. That's a given. And the higher we got in our lives without God, balancing the things out, balancing the burdens with blessings and the blessings with burdens. The higher we got without God doing the balance in our lives, the further when these troubles come, we would fall. So you think about this. We have to understand that as much as God blesses us with possessions, as much as he blesses us with wealth, as much as he blesses us in our health, and by the way, never take a day of that for granted, please. I'm talking to some folks now in our church who are fine. Listen, last Wednesday night, you think about this. Brother Bruce was here in the prayer circle last Wednesday night sitting in this pew. And in the blink of an eye, he falls and almost needs eye surgery. You will not believe the picture that Vicky sent me. I will tell you this, that could happen instantly. We could be feeling fine today and terrible tonight and in the hospital in the morning. Don't ever take a day of your health for granted. God gives us great possessions and wealth and health and spiritual high moments that we never want to get rid of. You remember the three disciples, they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they begin to look at all of the wonderful things and they begin to talk among themselves. And they said to the Lord, this is just such a wonderful place, God. We're having such a wonderful moment. There's revival in the air. Things are just looking great. And we see a potential of doing a mighty work for you. Lord, if it just be your will, just keep us here. And a lot of times in our life, we just want to remain in those spiritual high moments. We don't want to go back down to the real world, but God oftentimes interrupts those spiritual high moments, the good times in our life, to balance things out for his honor and for his glory. Now, you think that's hard to comprehend why God would have to do it that way, but he does. Paul had a great burden. This thorn that he had in the flesh was not a little thing. It was vicious. It was unmerciful. And he constantly had to deal with it. Let me ask you this. Do you find yourself in a situation right now where you constantly are having to deal with some type of adversity? You're having to deal with some type constantly now, some type of physical thing that's got you shackled like a ball and chain everywhere you go. You have to deal with this. I saw someone in the hospital the other day and they were rolling this oxygen tank. And I was thinking, how often do they have to do that? Probably every day. Sometimes we feel that we're chained or we're anchored to some of these things that get in the way, so to speak. This thorn that Paul had to deal with was not just a little thing. It was vicious. It was unmerciful. And maybe you feel that way. This thing that you're going through in life, this thing you're wondering, why me, Lord? Maybe it's vicious and you might feel it's overwhelming. And maybe you feel like you can't even hardly pray anymore about it. And you pray to the place where you feel drained. And listen, when you do all the right stuff and then nothing happens, God refuses, for whatever reason, to intervene. Now, this is where we have the problem. When all of this stuff overwhelms us and our peace is gone, our joy is gone, we feel this is unmerciful, it's vicious, it's overwhelming, and we've prayed. And God is silent. And we step back from that and we say, wow, doesn't the word teach us to pray? Well, let me help you with this today. There are several reasons why we might have unresolved tribulations, why we might have these agonizing moments, these burdens, these troubles and trials going on in our lives. Let me give you something to think about today. First of all, there could be an absence of peace in your life because of some kind of sin that we have refused to confess or something that we have just vehemently got angry about and we said, I'm not going to deal with this, God. Without question, sin causes suffering. Suffering always follows unconfessed sin. Secondly, though, some of us don't have peace and we hurt all over because God is in the process of conditioning and strengthening our lives. As the NFL season is just about ready to begin, let me say something that I could use maybe for a fraction of a moment for sake of illustration. There's not one single training camp going on in the National Football League right now that is designed to make players comfortable. I mean, you think about this. Those guys wake up every morning and I'm sure they don't have room service. I'm sure they don't have individual people coming out there putting their shoulder pads on and making sure that their helmets are. I mean, they got the next guy next to them in training camp wanting their job. So there's a lot of head banging going on the locker room. There's a lot of head banging going on the field. There's nothing about the training camp right now that's making one single player comfortable. Those guys get out there, listen, to play the game that they're ready to play. There is no mercy from the coaches. There's no mercy from the teammates. And we have to think, but without the conditioning, there's not a player on that team that could get out there and survive one day. Many times God allows his people to hurt in order to condition them, in order to strengthen them, in order to fortify them. And in this case, it has nothing to do with sin. Something else, number three here, God sometimes allows us to hurt to actually keep us from sinning. That was the case in the Apostle Paul's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, notice this. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said, and he said, there was very possible. People knew who I was. People wanted me to baptize them and say whose baptism was greater. And they wanted me to preach here and teach here. And he said, there's no doubt there was a notoriety that I had. But he said this, God, unless I should be exalted, unless all of this Paul thing, unless all of this apostle thing got to my head and make me think that I was somebody when I surely ought not to think that way, and when I should take heed lest I fall, if I think I'm standing, take heed lest I fall. Listen, and lest I should be exalted, unless my head got so big and I thought more of myself than what I ought to think or what I was, except I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, because God wanted me to be in reality. God wanted me to be humble. God said, because of that, there was given to me. This thorn was not given to him because he was sinning. This thorn was given to him to keep him from sinning. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted, unless I got too big in my head for myself. So let me help you further with this today. When there's pain and the lack of peace going on in your life, carefully examine your prayer life. Most of the time when tribulation comes our way, we right away ask God. We say, God, I don't want to do this. Take it away. Take it away. Most of us do that. We don't want to go through it a fragment. It's our human nature. And sometimes we pray this, God, I don't care how you get rid of it. I really could care less. You do whatever you need to do. God, whatever it takes, take this pain from me, whether it be by divine intervention, whether it be by medicine, whether it be by miracle. God, I really don't care. God, listen, I'm not interested in all this stuff about I want to be a testimony for Jesus. I want to be a lighthouse for Jesus. I'm not really interested. I hate to say this, Lord, but I'm really not interested in you getting the honor and the glory and all this spiritual stuff. I just want you to take this mess away from me and do it now. In 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul said this, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And he prayed three times about it, and God finally, on the third time around, gave him the answer. But it wasn't the answer he was looking for. How many times you've done that? You had something going on in your life, you prayed, had people praying with you, got a prayer chain going. You prayed, and then you knew God did something. But the something wasn't what you were looking for. And you step back from that. May I remind you of this? When Paul, look at this. He said, "I besought the Lord thrice." You know what that means? He prayed three times. God said, "No." Let me take this a little farther. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He found one of those olive trees and he began to pray. On his face, on his knees, to the place where the word says that his blood was coming out of his brow. He was perspiring great drops of blood. And he said this three times. Paul said, I prayed three times for God to take it away. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane three times. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. In Paul's case, God said, no. In Jesus, the Son of God, God said, no. Sometimes we pray and we pray, but we don't get the answer that we're looking for. So one of the points is this. There's nothing wrong in praying, God, take this mess out of my life. Give me the peace and the tranquility that I want. God, take these burdens away from me. But we have to keep in mind that the Lord may have a greater plan in our life than what we could ever imagine. He may have reasons to use us in a greater way with the burden, with the problem, with the trouble, than if he took them away. So we have to recognize this. Listen carefully, and this will help you with peace. If the Lord doesn't take your burdens away, and I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward. If the Lord does not take your troubles and trials, temptations, your burdens away, if he says, I'm not going to do it. That's what he told Paul. He said, I'm not going to do it. That's what he told Jesus. He said, no, I'm not going to. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. So here's what you do when you've lost your joy, when you've lost your peace, you've lost your happiness, and God says to you what he said to Paul, and God says to you what he says to Jesus. So what do? We get mad at God and say, that's not fair. I served you. I consecrated my life. What's the objective here? We want peace, right? Here's what you do when God says no. And say, okay, God, if the answer is no, then I pray that you give me grace to endure it. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Pray that he will give you grace to endure it. And then say this, Father, I'm praying if your answer is no. Because I truly want to be happy, Lord. Learn to use the experience as a testimony. Let me ask you this question. How many of you remember the old song? All the way my Savior leads me. Listen to these words. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. And I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. So here's the thing. Don't pray to simply escape the problem and to endure the problem. But ask God to help you to receive it for his glory. Now, when we have prayed for something and God has different plans, ask God to help you to endure it. And then you accept it. This is the key. To have peace in tribulation. And God says no. Okay, Lord. Then give me the strength to accept it. And when we can accept it, when Paul said, okay, when we can accept it, you can have peace. lot of things we can't change, but we want to change. If God says, I can use this more for my glory, because it's not about our glory, it's about His. God says, I can use this thing where I can get more glory with this. You can't see it. You don't understand it. You don't have it worked out yet. But remember, I'm omniscient. I got the whole world in my hands. And I can see it. You see the little picture? I got the big picture. And God said, you don't understand how I can use this better with the burden. But I can get more glory with this burden than taking it away from you. So you say, okay, God, then help me to endure it. Because it's devastating. God will say, oh, I can do that. Because my grace is sufficient for you.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.